As good as that was, get ready. I have known Brother Scott since he came to this area and was the pastor at Canaan Baptist Church. And I've heard him on multiple occasions, and I know this is putting some pressure on him, because every one of us preachers at some point in our ministry have laid an egg. I have never one time heard him do that. And I'm telling you, yesterday I went to a funeral, and I'm telling you, it was really anything but a funeral. His best friend, Dr. Keith Cudd, is with the Lord tonight. He's 51 years old. And they had this pact that they would preach each other's funeral. And Dr. Cudd went to be with Jesus. And Dr. Caudle preached his message just the way that Dr. Cudd wanted it preached. When he got up yesterday, he said, "I'm going to do this like my friend wanted me to do it." He said, "Buckle your seatbelt." And he preached probably one of the top three messages that I have ever heard at funerals. And I'm telling you, he is God's man. You know that this church loves Dr. Wade. Dr. Wade was the general director. He and Brother Don were best buddies and still are to this day. But Dr. Wade got some age on him, as all of us do from time to time. And so he kind of took a secondary role, kind of stepped back a little bit. And Dr. Carl took over as president and general director. And as a board member, I've had a chance to watch what's happened the last few years. And I'm telling you, the trajectory of Macedonia is going up. And I believe that it's because of the leadership of Dr. Caudle and other good men like Brother Hamby, Brother Kindheart, Brother Finley, guys like that, the field directors that we have. But at the head of it is Dr. Caudle. And I'm telling you, he is God's man for this time for Macedonia. I am glad to count him as my friend. And I am thrilled to hear him preach again tonight. When you hear preaching like I heard yesterday and like I've heard in the past, it does not get old. And so tonight, God's man is going to preach from God's word. And so buckle your seatbelts.
Psalm, the 67th Psalm, and in just a few moments, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1 of the Psalm and be reading through verse number 7, the 67th Psalm and verse number 1. Again, let me say thank you to Pastor Foskey for the invitation to be here tonight. I want to say thank you again to Corinth Baptist Church. When we left the pastorate after 22 years to come with the mission board full time, Corinth Baptist Church and Pastor Tommy Foskey was some of our very first supporters. And you've been faithful ever since that time. And Cassie and I absolutely can't thank you enough. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your friendship and your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And then for everyone that had a part in actually both meals today, the lunch was outstanding. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the lunch. And then we just had a taste of the world tonight, didn't we? That was just awesome. I guess probably about 80%, 85% of the meetings that I'm in now are missions conferences, missions revivals. And I go to a lot of international suppers, but I've never gone to anything like that any better than that. Amen, missionaries? It was just great, outstanding. And let's see, I went to India. I went to Mexico and went somewhere and got a little goat. There was a goat. So, in fact, I think I got some goat on my notes up here that I may have to share before the service is over, but it was all wonderful. So I thank you, thank you, thank you, not only from the bottom of my heart, but the bottom of my stomach. I appreciate being able to put all that good food into the gospel ministry. Amen. Have you found your place in the 67th Psalm? If you have, would you please stand? We'll read these 7 verses of Scripture together and then dig into them. for just a very few moments tonight. I want to go ahead and apologize already tonight. I will not be able to be here in the morning service tomorrow morning. I'll be preaching the graveside for my friend Dr. Cudd and his family. And then, of course, Cassie and I will be coming back in for the morning services the rest of the week and the service tomorrow evening. We certainly appreciate and covet your prayers for Dr. Cudd's family during these days. The 67th Psalm in verse number 1. The Bible says, God, be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah. Now, of course, I know you realize this, but that little word Selah right there, it means to stop and think about what's just been said. And so I believe it would be right for us to back up and read verse number 1 again and do what the Bible says do when it says Selah. God, be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah. Now, look how verse 1 connects with verse 2. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Then we see the little word again, Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. With the help of the Lord tonight, I want to preach on this thought, blessed in order to continue to be a blessing. Our text will be taken directly from this, the 67th Psalm, and therefore I trust you'll leave your Bibles handy. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the privilege to be with my friend, Pastor Tommy Foskey, and the wonderful, wonderful people of the Corinth Baptist Church of Loganville, Georgia. Father, I pray that you would take the message tonight and use it to do much more than just challenge us. Father, I pray that you would change us, that we may be more like thee. Now, Father, I'm nothing without you, and I pray, therefore, that you would cleanse me of sin and self, and for the next few moments, Lord, would you fill me with the precious Holy Spirit of God, for only then will I be the preacher that you've called me to be. Lord, I want to be a help. I want to do more just this week than get a blessing. Lord, I want to be a blessing. Lord, would you help me? And I'll give you glory and honor for it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I've always found it interesting while studying this, the 67th Psalm, that neither its author nor the occasion of its writing has been made known to us. Some Bible commentators feel that it was penned after the exile of God's people upon the rebuilding of the temple there in the capital city of Jerusalem. Others believe it was penned by Hezekiah during the time of the Assyrian invasion. However, whatever the occasion might have been, one thing is for certain, and one thing certainly is for sure. The theme of the psalm is surely that of missions. And although it's dealing primarily with the nation of Israel during the millennium, I submit to you its spiritual application should never be minimized by the church today. I say that because the word of God before us this evening is abundantly clear. It is the desire of the thrice holy God of glory that every inhabitant of the earth know and worship him in a very personal and a very deliberate way. In fact, I believe there are three truths directly from the text before us, which in turn will lead us to such a conclusion. Let's notice three things, can we, from this psalm, just by way of introduction to the message tonight. First of all, when I begin to dig into the 67th psalm, the very first thing that becomes evident to me is, number one, a petition for God's blessing. It's interesting that the psalmist actually begins with a prayer or a petition of God's blessing in the text. Do you see the petition? It can be seen in verse number one. The psalmist prays, God, be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. When you study the text before us, you'll discover that verse number one is actually taken from the ancient blessing which Aaron was instructed to give the assembled tribes of Israel in the wilderness when they were dismissed after gathering to their tents. So here the psalmist petitions God for mercy. He's asking the Lord for blessing. He's asking the Lord for God's face to shine upon his people, or to literally look upon them with favor. That's why I say here in the 67th Psalm, as you begin to dig into the truths of the text in verse number one, you see a petition for God's blessing. But then look, if you would please, in verses 3 through 6. In verse 1, we see the petition for God's blessing. But in verses 3 through 6, here we see the praise for God's blessing. The psalmist writes, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our God, shall bless us. So yes, here in verses 3 through 6, we see the praise for God's blessing. And when it comes to that praise, the psalmist, as he was, of course, led of the Holy Ghost of God to do so, begins to go into great depths concerning that praise. We not only see the people that are involved in praise, but we see the product that is indicated in praise, because verse 6 declares again, then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. Therefore, yes, whereas in verse number 1 we see the petition for God's blessing, in verses 3 through 6 we see the praise for God's blessing. But now I want you to notice what the Bible teaches us here in verses 2 and 7. In verses 2 and 7 of this 67th Psalm, here we see the purpose for God's blessing. I submit to you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, there is a revealed purpose for the psalmist praying, petitioning the Lord for his blessing. Do you see the purpose for God's blessing? You see it in verses 2 and 7. In fact, before we read these two verses of Scripture, let's address a few questions, shall we? Why did the psalmist pray for God to be merciful unto his people? Why did the psalmist pray for God's face to shine upon Israel? What is the purpose for God blessing his people? You'll see the purpose in verses 2 and 7. Look at verse 2. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Again, notice what the psalmist declares in verse 7. The psalmist writes, God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Yes, I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, here we see the reason. We see the purpose. We see why the psalmist desired to be blessed of God. Oh, yes, I'll be the first to agree. Initially, the psalmist's desire for blessing was merely beneficial to his own people. But did you notice when the Holy Ghost began to inspire him to pen this psalm, it didn't end there. Absolutely not. A national note began to give way to a universal need. According to the writing, the psalmist's sympathies run far beyond the boundaries of just one nation. I submit to you this evening, ladies and gentlemen, that living centuries before the Apostle Paul, the psalmist at this point shared Paul's passion. He shared Paul's vision to proclaim the truth of God's way or God's word to those who had not been blessed to hear it. And in sharing that kind of missions passion with Paul, one truth becomes abundantly evident here in the psalm before us. And that is the fact, are you listening? Say amen. That is the fact that the psalmist desired to be blessed of God so that he in turn could be a blessing to someone else. Amen. I believe when you study the 67th Psalm, you'll discover what I believe God would have both you and I to discover afresh and anew tonight. God, listen, God isn't merciful to us merely for our own personal benefit. Absolutely not. God is merciful unto us in order that we may tell others who have yet to hear of His mercy. Amen. God blesses us in order that we may tell others who have yet to hear of His blessing. Amen. And I want to say again, I realize this psalm is a psalm of prophecy. I understand that. I want you to know. I get it. It is a psalm of prophecy. But it is not only a psalm of prophecy, it is a psalm of prayer. I submit to you, the Bible is like a multifaceted diamond. It sparkles any way you turn it. And any way you turn it, I assure you, when you look at the gem of the 67th psalm, yes, you will see a prophecy, but you will also see a prayer. And the reason that I say tonight, when you look at the psalm, you see a prayer, is because when you read the seven verses that make it up, you will see with an eye of faith the longing, the yearning of a missionary heart, the desire that God should be known and that God should be magnified throughout all lands and by all people. And can I say to you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that truth is not only revealed here in the 67th Psalm, that truth is revealed from the very first in the beginning of Genesis 1 and 1 to the final amen in the book of God's revelation. Hear me tonight. You have been blessed. I have been blessed. We have been blessed so that we can be a blessing. Those of us that know the Lord must make the Lord known to others. We have been redeemed in order that we might become the messengers of redemption. Amen. I'm afraid too many of us, more times than not, are sort of like stagnant water. We're taking in, but we're never giving out. Let me tell you something, child of God. God never intended it to be that way in the lives of His young'uns. Every one of us should strive to be like a flowing river. Now I want you to consider the difference between a flowing river and stagnant water. A flowing river not only receives or takes in blessing, brother, it's giving blessing out as well. Therefore, wherever a flowing river goes, you know what it does? It gives life. It offers strength. It offers sustenance. Amen. It gives blessing as well as receives blessing. Therefore, wherever it goes, it brings blessing and vibrancy in life. Moving water purifies. Stationary, stagnant water is polluted. One is a blessing, the other is a blight. So when it comes to giving so that others could hear the gospel, when it comes to being a blessing, which type of water adequately describes you? Are you a stagnant pool or are you like a flowing river? When it comes to reaching others with the glorious gospel, would you be considered to be a blessing or would you be considered to be a blight? Are you content merely to be a taker of the blessings of God without ever determining in your heart of hearts to be a giver of God's blessing? I'm afraid that many of us, instead of being like that flowing river, more times than not, we're like the Dead Sea. The preacher made that statement this morning. I'll just stay right here since this is not working. The preacher made the statement this morning not long ago. He went to Israel. And he talked about how his life changed having go to Israel. And I assure you, if you ever go to Israel, you'll be reading a different Bible. I mean, it will become even more alive than what it's ever been to you before. I've been blessed to go to Israel 3 different times while I was in the United States Navy. And one of the times that I was there, I went to the Dead Sea. And I did a little reading on the Dead Sea. Did you know the Dead Sea is not really a sea at all? The Dead Sea is a lake. You want to know why the Dead Sea is dead? Because it takes in, but it never gives anything out. You say, well, preacher, where does all the water go? It evaporates. Millions of gallons of water evaporate from the Dead Sea every day. There's nowhere else for the water to go. And the reason the Dead Sea is dead, the reason why the fish can't live in the Dead Sea, the reason why there's no vegetation in the Dead Sea is because it takes blessing and it never, your lapel is muted. Unmute, please. Okay.
How's that?
Thank you, brother. Where was I at before I was so rudely interrupted? Oh, yeah. Dead Sea. You want to know why the Dead Sea's dead? Because it takes blessing. And takes blessing. You know that Jordan River? You know that. You saw it while you was there. That Jordan River flows into the Dead Sea, but it never goes anywhere else. And it takes blessing. Oh, that flowing river, that Jordan River flows into that Dead Sea. But it just takes blessing and takes. But since it never gives anything out, it's dead. It's dead. There's a difference between stagnant water and a flowing river. The preacher talked about the Sea of Galilee. And as soon as he started talking about that Sea of Galilee, I was reminded of what happened to me this week. I've just started preaching this message. I've preached it only a few times. I felt led of the Lord to share it with you tonight. And when the preacher started talking about the Sea of Galilee this morning, God confirmed in my heart, this is what I needed to preach. Did you know that Sea of Galilee? Listen, when you study your Bible, Jesus did a lot of miracles at that Sea of Galilee. You know how I found it? Of course, I know that. I've read my Bible. I noticed that Jesus walked on the water. Jesus touched blinded eyes and made them see. He touched lame legs and made them walk again. And I've been preaching this message, and I get on that point about the Dead Sea, and I did it just this last week in a little bitty independent fundamental Bible-believing church in the mountains of Western North Carolina. And when I got done preaching, the preacher got up and said, you know, there's nothing I could add to that message, but... Now, whenever a preacher does that, you better buckle up, amen. So he got to talking about that Dead Sea, and of course he agreed with everything I said. And then he said this, he said, you know what, Brother Caudle? He said, you read in your Bible about the mighty miracles that God did at the Sea of Galilee. Read about the lives that he changed on the Sea of Galilee. You know the difference between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea? The Jordan River runs into the Sea of Galilee, but it not only runs into it, it runs out of it as well. You know why Jesus hung out on the Sea of Galilee? Because it was alive. It was vibrant. Read about the number of times Jesus did miracles at the Dead Sea. And I know a little bit about prophecy. I understand that God's going to turn that around in the end times, but right now nothing lives in the Dead Sea because it takes and takes and takes but never gives. Well, I want you to know there's a great lesson here for every one of God's youngins tonight. For those of you that think the only reason you go to church is so Brother Foskey, through his great preaching and his great Bible teaching, can be a blessing to you, I hope you realize that God didn't leave the church here on this earth just so you could get a blessing. He put it here so you can be a blessing. Amen. And can I tell you, God has blessed us. God has blessed us. God has blessed Corinth Baptist Church. But there is a reason God has blessed you. God blessed you so that you in turn could be a blessing to someone else. You know, this is a very, very important week.
for Corinth Baptist Church. You're praying as a church family about what you'll do to reach the lost and dying world outside these four walls with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your pastor felt impressed of the Lord to put a faith promise card in your hand this very morning. I trust you've already been praying about what the Lord would have you to do. But can I tell you, when God created you and when God breathed in your nostrils the breath of life, He created you to be a giver. And if you are not a giver, you're not performing the will of God for your life. God created you to give. He doesn't bless you. He doesn't bless me just for the sake of us hoarding up those blessings and becoming like the Dead Sea. No, He wants us to be like a flowing river. He wants to give through us what He would never give to us, so that we who have been blessed could be a blessing to someone else. So can I say again, there is a reason for the psalmist's prayer in verse 1. There is a reason the psalmist is praying, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. There is a reason the psalmist was inspired to use the word Selah. Back up, stop. Think about what I just inspired you to write. And the psalmist tells us the purpose for praying such a prayer in verse 2. Do you see it? That thy way may be known upon earth, and thy saving help among all nations. Can I tell you this tonight? Hear me. We have been blessed in order that we may be a blessing. And you know, Brother Hamby, I was thinking, how could I think about being blessed without thinking of how God has blessed Macedonia World Baptist Mission? The Lord has brought Macedonia a long way down the road since its inception in 1967. 50 years. What started out as a missionary ministry primarily to support national pastors in Haiti has grown to an international missions agency assisting missionaries sent out of local Bible-leading independent Baptist churches to 39 different countries around the world. My soul, God has blessed Macedonia World Baptist Mission. And He's done it in such a way that nobody could get credit for it but God. Oh, I was thinking, I told Brother Wade just a few minutes ago when he started leading us in that song, Set My Soul Afire, Lord. Brother Smith, it reminded me, oh, I cannot even begin to tell you, a flood of memories crossed my mind. And as I begin to walk down memory lane, I still see Dr. Wade. Oh, I miss my friend, Dr. Wade. Would you pray for him? I'm hoping and praying that before the week is up, we'll at least get to lay eyes on him one way or another. I miss him and Mrs. Wade. I'll be honest with you, it's really not like it used to be without Brother Wade here. And I hope and pray we get to see him, or maybe even get to talk to him by way of telephone before this conference is through. And God used Dr. Thurman Wade for 40 years in such a miraculous way. But I want to tell you, it was so miraculous that only God could get credit for doing it. Only God. I appreciate Dr. Marshall Everett. I keep that little book written by his granddaughter. I keep it close by in my office at the mission right now. It's on my desk. And I look through that book often. Before I preach this message, before I came to this conference, I read that little book again. If you haven't read that book, you ought to get that little book and read it, telling about the life history of the founder of Macedonia World Baptist Missions, Dr. Marshall Everett. And how God used him to start this great work, and the burden of it through him to spread literally all over the world. I want to tell you, though, God did it in a way that nobody could get credit for it but God. I appreciate the men that God has sent to Macedonia right now. I appreciate the fact that just in the last, I guess, month or so, we've had 5 different interviews with missionaries that have applied with the mission board. And God has blessed Macedonia in a great and mighty way. I remember just a few years ago, we were actually operating in the red. And we didn't have any money. And I called Brother Hamby and I said, you know what? Listen, we need to pray. In fact, we need to fast and pray. And we begin to fast and we begin to pray. And I told the Lord, Lord, if it's your will for there to be a Macedonia World Baptist Missions, you're going to have to work a miracle. Well, can I tell you, God has done exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. And God did it in such a way. Listen, you can't give me credit for it. You can't give Dr. Hamby credit for it. You can't even give these precious missionaries credit for it. But I can look to my Heavenly Father in glory tonight and say, hallelujah. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for blessing Macedonia. Thank you for using Macedonia. Thank you for 50 years we've stood on the truths of the Word of God without fear, compromise, or apology. Thank you that we're still using the same Bible. Thank you that we still have the same standards. Thank God for His blessings. Oh, Macedonia World Baptist Missions. But you hear me, every one of you, you better hear me. God didn't bless us just to hoard those blessings up. He blessed us so that we, after 50 years, can continue to be a blessing. Amen. And there's a reason God's blessed you. There's a reason God's blessed your family. God wants to use you to be a blessing to someone else. Three things in the next 15 minutes directly from your King James Bible. First of all, when I look into the 67th Psalm, I see number one, the proclamation to be shared. The proclamation to be shared. Can I ask you this question? Why does the psalmist desire blessing? Well, he tells the Lord in verse 2 that thy way may be known upon earth. Here we see the proclamation to be shared. The psalmist calls it the way of the Lord. Now, that term, the way, describes God's will. It describes God's word. It describes God's works. Let me assure you tonight, God's will must be known before it can ever be done. God's word must be proclaimed if it is to ever be put into practice. And God's works must be seen if they are to ever be appreciated. I'm telling you, when the psalmist is inspired of the Holy Spirit of God to write about this matter of being a blessing so that he in turn can be a blessing to someone else, he makes it very, very clear the proclamation is to be shared with the world. Hear me tonight. And I know you are a part of a great, great missions-minded, a great missions-hearted church, and you hear this often. But I think it would behoove us to be reminded tonight that the overwhelming population of this world has never heard the name of Jesus, much less anything about God's way. Brother Weeks is here tonight. We recognized him and Mrs. Weeks for 35 years of faithful service. A great majority of those 35 years have been spent reaching cults and reaching false religions with the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe Brother Weeks would say amen to this. Every idol, every cult, every false religion is evidence of man's desire to know the way. Yet every idol, every cult, every false religion is proof positive of the fact that men have missed the truth. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Oh, but preacher, aren't they sincere? And surely, if they're sincere, God can appreciate that. Listen, if they think they can get to heaven any other way other than the shed blood of Christ, they may be sincere, but you mark it down, they're sincerely wrong. There are not many ways to heaven. There is only one way to heaven. And that's through him by the one that said in the Gospel of John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He also reminds us of that sobering fact in Matthew chapter 7 when he said, "Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and listen, few there be that find it." Did you happen to notice the fourfold contrast in Matthew chapter 7? Broad and straight, wide and narrow, destruction and life, many and few. Surely, surely you would agree with me when I say verse after verse after verse, chapter after chapter in our Bibles reveal the great need of getting the gospel to a lost and dying world while we have opportunity to do so. The proclamation to be shared. Secondly, the people to be reached. Can I ask you this question and allow the Bible to answer it? Who are we to share God's way with? Who are we to tell? Who are the people that are to be reached? Well, verse 2 teaches us that we are to reach the earth. We are to reach, according to the Bible, all nations. That in turn reveals to me afresh and anew what God has taught us all throughout the pages of His Bible. That it is God's will for us to reach every man, every woman, every boy, every girl upon this earth. You look at verse 7, the Bible speaks of all the ends of the earth. That is to say, hear me, there isn't an individual alive today or ever has been alive on this earth that it wasn't God's will to save. Now I'm telling you, I'm not one of these preachers that go around looking for a fight. I have learned the hard way after all these years in the ministry. If you stand for that Bible and you preach the Word of God, you'll have enough fights without picking any. But I tell you, that limited atonement crowd, that just makes me so mad. God's not within a million miles of that. How in the... Boy, some of you woke up on that point. How in the world do you read this Bible? How do you read this Bible and dare to say that Jesus didn't go to Calvary for every man, woman, boy, or girl? 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 teaches us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Who are we to reach with the gospel? Who did Jesus die for? The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. There's not a door you'll ever knock on in Loganville, Georgia, or beyond. But what if there's a living, breathing individual beyond the doorknob of that door that Jesus didn't shed his blood for on the cross of Calvary? The people to be reached. We are to reach everyone. Did you know that? Listen, you can't go soul winning at the wrong place. You can't give one of these to the wrong person. I'll never forget, I hadn't been in Canaan too long. I spent about 12 years there. Wonderful, wonderful ministry. And I hadn't been there long, and when I first got there, wow, there's probably bus kids, adults, everything. There's probably about 100 of us. So we was only running about one van at that time. But boy, not long after that, just started preaching, loving people, knocking on doors, and going soul winning. God started sending in more people. And He sent us people in that had a desire to work a bus ministry and things like that. And so not long after I'd been there, we went from one van to two vans. And we went from two vans and we started getting back in our buses and started running buses. And when I left, we was running about 5 bus routes every single Sunday and bringing in all types of people. And I'll never forget after we... I think it was when we got that second bus. It was a fellow come up to me and pulled me aside one day. And he said, "Preacher," he said, He said, I just want you to know, I need to talk to you in private. Oh, that's never good. Usually never good. Listen, can I tell you the number of times if somebody ever told me that, 99.9% of the time, they wouldn't about to tell you what a wonderful preacher you are and how much they love you. They wouldn't about to hand you a $100 bill and say, you know, God just burdened my heart to be a blessing to you. And you. 99% of the time, you better buckle up. They're fixing to tell you everything that you are doing wrong and how they think it could be better done this way. So this fellow said, preacher, I need to talk to you in private. So I went to, you know, we found a place to get away in private. And he said, now, preacher, he said, you know I love you. That's another telltale sign, too. Yeah. Yep. Whenever they say, preacher, you know I love you, there's a butt coming in there real soon. Real soon. Preacher, do you know I love you? But, yeah, I figured that was coming. But. So then he proceeded to tell me, he said, now, preacher, you know I love you, but these people that we're bringing in on these buses. Then he had the audacity to take the Bible and twist it. Tell me how we shouldn't be bringing in such, you know, and I let him. He probably went on 5 or 10 minutes. Now, I know this is carnal. But you remember that teacher on Charlie Brown? You probably don't even remember who Charlie Brown. Let me look at all the old folks. Do you remember who Charlie Brown was? You remember that teacher Charlie Brown had? I used to ask my mama, Brother Dean, what's she saying? Because it never really revealed what she said. She just went, wah, 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 remember? Wah, 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 wah. Charlie Brown understood everything she said. But every time she went, wah, 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 I was always, what is she saying? So for the next 5 minutes, that guy's sitting there and he's going on and on. He's twisting the scripture. He's telling me about how we shouldn't be bringing in a certain type of people. I just sit there and I thought, Charlie Brown. Charlie. Wah, 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 wah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Wah, 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 wah. You do a lot of this as a pastor, don't you? Yes, sir. God bless you. Yes. Thank you for your faith. Wah, 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 wah. And when he got done, I finally said this. I said, well, you know, I've listened to you. And I did. I didn't tell him a story. Even though I didn't understand because he was just going in my ears, wah, 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 wah. I did listen to him. I let him finish. And when he got done, I said, you know what? I've listened to everything you said. And I just want you to know God has burdened my heart. From this moment on, we're only going to bus in one type of people. And he said, well, preacher, I appreciate that. I appreciate you listening to me. I said, yes, sir. And I just want you to know from this moment on, the only type of people we're going to bus in is those that Jesus went to Calvary for and shed his blood for. That's it. That's it. But you know what? If you include everybody that Jesus went to Calvary for, brother, you're going to pick up some black folk. You're going to pick up some white folk. You're going to pick up some red, some yellow folk. You're going to pick up some folk that have some money. You're going to pick up some folk that'll steal some money. You're going to pick up some folk that'll help you build the property up. You're also going to pick up some folks that will be defacing the property. There's not an individual alive on this earth that Jesus didn't go to Calvary for. Jesus died for the world. All these flags around here this week, I assure you, they're not up there just for the sake of decoration. Oh, they're pretty. They really are. I love all the beautiful colors, and boy, that really helps in a missions conference like this. But I'm here to tell you, you need to look beyond the colors of the flags. And you need to see people. You need to see the Canadians that Jesus died for. And you need to see the Brazilians that Jesus died for. And you need to see the people of Chile, the Chilean people that Jesus died for. You need to see the people of St. Lucia that Jesus died for. Can I tell you, these flags represent souls. There is a people that God has commanded us. He has commanded us to reach with the gospel. It isn't a suggestion to be ignored. It is a command to be obeyed. We are to reach all nations, the people to be reached. The proclamation to be shared, and finally, you see the problem to be corrected. Now it's interesting in verse 2, Notice how that the psalmist not only speaks of making God's way known upon the earth, but he speaks of making God's wonder known upon the earth. Why has God blessed us? Why has the Lord's face shone upon us? But the psalmist tells us in verse 2, that thy way may be known upon earth. Watch your Bible. Thy saving health among all nations. I like the fact that our God always operates in the superlative. He just doesn't bring health. He brings saving health. And again, I think it's important that I say one more time here that I am fully aware, as far as the interpretation of these verses of Scripture are concerned, they're speaking primarily about God's relationship with Israel during the millennial reign. However, since the Bible really is like a multifaceted diamond, there is an application for us today. That's why God put it in our King James Bible. Here's the application. This world is sick with sin. And they're dying. They're dead in trespasses and in sin. Can I tell you, listen to me, you and I have the remedy. That is exactly why Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." This world is sick with sin, but you and I have the gospel that they need. The gospel that will bring about not just health, but saving health to all nations. God has blessed us. Now let's make it real personal tonight in closing, can I? God has blessed you. God has blessed you. Brother Hanser, God has blessed you and Miss Kathy. But He hasn't blessed you and Miss Kathy just so you could hoard those blessings up. He wants you to be like a flowing river. He wants you to be like the Sea of Galilee. He don't want you to be an old dead sea, Christian. He wants you to be like the Sea of Galilee. He wants you to take in those blessings. Oh, we're going to take in some blessings this week. I enjoyed taking in those blessings at both meals today, not only physically, but man, when Pastor Foskey got up and preached about that maniac turning into a missionary, my soul, I sat on the edge of my seat, Brother Barry. Man, God fed me this morning through the man of God's message. But you know what? There is a reason God fed me. God fed me because there's a world that needs to be fed, and He wants to use me to do it. He has blessed us, Macedonia. He has blessed us so that we can continue. Thank God for 50 years. But should the Lord's stay is coming, I'm looking forward to the next 50. He's blessed us so that we can continue to be a blessing. You've listened so well. Would you bow your head and stand to your feet all over the building, if you would, please? What a blessing. I want to ask you this question. Have you been blessed of the Lord? If you've been blessed of the Lord, would you slip your hand up as a testimony to God's blessing? Well, God sent me here to tell you tonight, if you just raised your hand, God didn't bless you in vain. Can I say it again? God didn't bless you in vain. There's a reason for it. He didn't bless you just so you could hoard all those blessings up. He wants to use you to be a blessing to someone else. Maybe you'd just like to start tonight by coming to this old-fashioned altar and saying, "Lord, I'm not coming tonight to ask you for anything. Lord, I'm coming tonight just to say thank you for your blessing. Lord, I'm coming tonight just to tell you how much I appreciate the fact, oh, you've blessed me in so many ways." And then as you're thanking God for His many, many blessings tonight in this altar, can I challenge you to pray about how you can be a blessing to others. Those of us that have been redeemed, God has called upon us to make God's way of redemption known to a lost and dying world. He has blessed us so that we can be a blessing to others. The preacher's coming tonight to close the service as he sees fit. I want